Warning, this podcast contains bad words and stories about drugs and sex and overthrowing the government. Proceed with caution. Okay. Thank you. And now on to our show. Wake up, brother, we got nothing to do. Let's go outside, just me and you, and build a fort. We'll pack a lunch, won't be home till after dark. Then after dinner we can sneak back out. You know that high school girl I've been telling you about? Well, she gets undressed about a quarter to nine, and we can watch her do it from the big old pine next door. She got a room on the second floor. Well, looks like another fucked up day in paradise.
You're a helicopter. You hear a helicopter. I do hear a helicopter. Let's put this over here. Like that. There. Let's wait for this helicopter to go by.
It's out there somewhere.
It's out there.
It's out there somewhere. I can hear it. Wait.
No, it's hidden in the overcast. I can't see it. Welcome to episode 062 of the Daughter of Godcast. And who am I? I am Dan Kelly, Shri Fuji Split, director, writer, actor, bon vivant, lover of life, earth child. I had a dream a couple nights ago of high-end art directors gone rogue. Fantastical creatures who usually lurk in ad agency corner offices, emerging only for clients with deep pockets. Brilliant autistics fused with a rapacious billing infrastructure. Meme prostitutes transforming schlock into campaigns and branding, sinister and hilarious iterations of the dominant paradigm. For whatever reason, these 3 to 4 art directors in my dream decided that maybe they didn't give a fuck anymore about money. There was a vague house fire in the backstory somewhere. Let's call that motivation. The main guy was a version of myself in a charcoal gray Armani suit, or whatever passes for haute alpha male fashion in days to come, because this felt slightly futury. They were developing a plan to slather the streets with clandestine art. For art's sake, or awakening, or both. Felt a bit abstracted, but also cool. As I was waking from this dream, I was tinkering with desire. Desire as the driving force of the cosmos, of our lives. I've been so mixed up about desire, in the past associating desire to lack. And so many others seem to do the same thing. I wish I had a girlfriend, or I wish I could pay for my kids' college. That's not desire to my current way of thinking. That's a horror show. The perspective that keeps us trudging around in circles, pushing the Conan wheel. Stuck. I was 19 when the original Conan the Barbarian movie came out in 1982. A barbarian village is attacked by bad guys with impractical weapons, and all the adults are killed. The surviving kids, including Conan, are marched over snowy mountains to a sort of giant subway turnstile that's going around and around, pushed by slaves. Young Conan, maybe 6 or 7, is chained to the wheel and starts pushing too, head down. Then there's a sequence of shots where we see Conan growing up, head always down, pushing the wheel thing. Eventually, he's fully grown, maybe 18 or 23, with great thick legs and brawny shoulders, and he finally looks up into the camera. Arnold Schwarzenegger. Well, what the fuck was Conan the Barbarian pushing anyway? I loved that we never really knew. He was just going around in circles. One can only imagine that he must have had a rich inner life, because he was the last guy left after 10 years, or whatever. Well, here's what the internet says. movies.stackexchange.com. And this question was answered by Adam Wiley, edited by John and Napoleon Wilson. Ah, the Wheel of Pain. The Wheel of Pain can be an allegory, if you wish. It can be a mill, or a torture device, or just a clever creation by a writer to explain how Conan got his Hans and Franz on. But I believe the Wheel of Pain is what it is. It is real. It is pain. I mean, never-ending pain and mind-numbing boredom and madness until the wheel itself, or the cold, or the heat, or some illness or injury finally stops the hell you're living and you drop dead in your chains. Free at last. It is what it is, a wheel, with slaves to push it, round and around and around, day after day, month after month, lifetime after lifetime, ad infinitum. It is what it is. But why? To grind grain, build muscles, waste a lot of good slaves for no reason other than to waste them? No. The wheel is a brilliant device constructed by the War Masters in the East, where Conan is eventually taken to learn the deepest secrets of weapons and warfare. The Riddle of Steel. Every now and then, the Wheel of Pain reveals its terrible purpose for existing. On a very rare occasion, the Wheel of Pain does not destroy and grind a man to death. Instead, it creates one. Creates a man into something that is harder and stronger than any weapon of steel. A man of incredible strength in body and mind. Of the flesh. Most men chained to the wheel will go insane or die of exhaustion or from the elements. Or both. But the War Masters knew that a rare few would become the answer, become the truth to the riddle. Steel isn't strong, boy. Flesh is stronger. The wheel, the War Masters wagered when they constructed it, would create a man who could master his flesh, master body and mind, and thus master fear and pain. If that happened, the man would be ready to take the next step towards the deepest secrets. Absolutely. Right on. Conan had something going on inside that let him survive the wheel to eventually free himself from the wheel. So much to discover. Through life, a smorgasbord of ideas spread before us, and we might pile our plates high with ideas, self-concepts, paradigms. The buffet of beliefs. What will we choose? For me, an unhealthy idea I've learned to scrape into the compost is that desire equates to a lack of something, when desire is actually an energy, a power. I used to short-circuit desire by starting to dream and then immediately comparing the dream to my current circumstance, pushing against present circumstances, resentment, despair, the Wheel of Pain. Now I relish tasty desire, the celebratory tug of inspiration, my creative, magical imagination, staying with the delight of what if. After that art director dream, between sleep and waking, I held desire in my hand, examining the facets and levers, marveling at the possibilities. What a delicious feeling to finally get how this all works. Or maybe remember, this reality thing, manifestation, the whole shebang. What if you knew how the cosmos worked? Does that appeal? Spoiler alert, here's the easy path to bliss. Cultivate robust appreciation for what's showing up right now, while tapping into all the cosmic resources with audacious, ecstatic desire. We all already know this, but we tend to forget because that's how gods roll. And we're here to play the human game. I prefer to remember because I like choosing, knowing this is my choice. And an excellent choice it is. I decided to be Dan Kelly. I designed Dan Kelly. And being the genius designer that I am, I know the most excellent surprises and boons are ahead of me. I'm just getting started, pushing the wheel as a choice to become epic, just like Conan. So that was a couple nights ago. We've been auspiciously groping the last four episodes. I'm fairly fired up to be in the thick of improvisation. Once again, we've been trailing off on sharing Daughter of God's past 12 years and amping up on Making the Now together. There's still some of 2016 left to cover, and we'll close out in the next episode or two. Before we fire up the time machine, I'm wanting to tease out the shine from the last month of the podcast. So let's review. 057 was the last time we were in 2016. To be continued. In 058, we talked about the world premiere of Thaw of the Dead and how a pretty decent indie feature needs to be way more than pretty decent. Hence, the distribution engine we're building for Daughter of God, with things you find around the kitchen. Giving the global audience access is how Dog becomes the breakout cinema experience we're all anticipating. Expanding on Hitchcock's paradigm, how the movie is experienced is the fifth making. See episode 015, but especially the 2011 excerpt in 028. We get to offer global audience access. Oh yes. In 059, we looked at search engine optimization as a significant step towards offering global access. Preliminary competitive analysis hints at leaning the podcast towards guidance in the unguru sense, celebrating the universal human experience and not dwelling over muchly on the geeky tech details of movie making. The SEO for dog.movie is just the latest distribution component. Other components have included establishing a robust web presence and social media beachhead, doing a year of weekly podcasting, raising funds for environmental protection, and dipping our toes into swag. In 060, we made a pilgrimage to WordCamp to learn still more about the dog.movie web platform, WordPress. We tinkered with open source as a utopian vision and confirmed two design learning curves to climb, SEO and CSS, in preparation for test screening in 2018. In 061, Nicole Enger and I talked about how the Daughter of God cast revived her career as a special effects makeup artist. She received a coded symbolic transmission meant just for her and was reminded that there's no hero's journey without a little wrangling and flopping about. I discovered the podcast is keeping creative people in the fray with both divine and pragmatic aspects. Okay, so far, so good. I review these episodes because I want to emphasize that the future of this podcast and Daughter of God is a discovery. I didn't know 4 weeks back what the next four episodes were going to be about. And that's why I'm enjoying sharing with you even more. As we complete this project, we'll be able to create summaries that have levels of specificity, e.g. useful for movie makers, useful for all creatives, or useful for humans generally. Because like Nicole said in 061, solving problems is what we all do. That's why we're here on Earth. We love to mix things up, get into jams, sort things out, make plans, fail miserably, get back up, kick ass, have breakthroughs, bite off more than we can chew, practice, get virtuosic. That's the human game. That's Daughter of God. By the way, Sri Fujisplit has been nominated for Best Supporting Actor at the Terror Film Festival for my role as Russell, the inept leader of the survivors in Thaw of the Dead. I'm up against Stefan Boehm for his role as the conniving boss in Accountable. Way back in episode 015, Felix Diaz of the Terror Film Festival sent me a t-shirt and a really sweet rejection letter for an early cut of Daughter of God. So this is kind of special for me. Love, 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 love. You've been listening to episode 062, Summary. You are privy to some pretty cool shit in this podcast because we're tapping into our divinity, quantum physically. In episode 061, Nicole had a revelation because of snails I filmed on North Manitou in 2005. We are all an interpenetrating wild energy web packed with way more information than 10,000 internets. And we can all browse the sum of creation anytime with our intuition. sans smartphone, sans iPad, sans laptop. We are already the ultimate technology. Somewhere in your experience is a spark of pleasure waiting to be fanned. No matter how bleak you might be feeling, burned up or torn down, still, there's definitely a spark. Conan found his, and you can too. Blaze up, baby.